Well, praise the Lord. Start off today to remind you that next Saturday we have a healing school. We teach people the second Saturday of every month from 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 5 o'clock. We teach you what makes you sick and what you have to do to get well. And it works. It works. There's a lot of things you have to learn to walk in divine health. And it works. Believe me, you know, I'm telling you, it works. I've had the privilege of walking in divine health now for 35 years, and I'm going to walk maybe 35 more, huh? Amen. So praise the Lord. I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to believe God's word, and He has some awesome promises in this book. Now then, I want to ask you a question. Yesterday, on Saturday, in the Metroplex of 6 or 7 million people, how many weddings do you think there might have been in the Metroplex yesterday? Reckon it's 3 or 4? Reckon it might have been 50 or 100? It could have been a bunch, right? Saturday's the day that people get married, you know, and so there was a lot of them that got married. But how many of them made the news? Just one. Just one. Isn't that amazing that only one wedding made the news, and that one wedding was in a Methodist church in Dallas? Two men got married to each other. Now then, I look at things like that and I wonder, how could this happen? I don't understand. When I say I don't, I do understand. But how could something like this happen? Well, it's happening because Jesus said, just before I return, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Well, in the days of Noah, was the people wicked? Yes, every kind of meanness and wickedness you can imagine. And those people all thought Noah was crazy. He tried to tell them the truth about, you know, what they need to do. And today, there's a lot of men just like me and women, but mostly men, that are teaching people in church every Saturday and Sunday what the Word of God says about what they should do. And some of those people think these people are crazy. When I started teaching about healing, when God began to give me the revelation on healing as a Southern Baptist, and I started seeing these little glimpses that God put in His Word about what we need to do and what He would do, and I began to see things that I didn't ever hear in church before. As a Southern Baptist, I had never heard a message on faith and what you could do with faith. I never heard that. I heard a lot about faith, but you have to have faith to get saved. But that's the only thing I ever heard about in the Baptist church. If you have faith, you can get saved. But I didn't hear about all the other things that I could do if I had faith. I never heard anything about healing, and I never certainly didn't hear anything about what made me sick. I didn't hear that at all. You just don't hear it, do you? So in fact, I remember, since Jack laughed right there, I can remember one day that after I'd met Jack, and he was coming to the healing schools over in Dallas, where we still had our church at the time. One day, he and I was driving off up to north of Dallas together in his car, and he said, Thurman, where do you get this stuff about that if we're sick, we got a sin in our life? He said, I've been reading the Bible all my life, and I've never seen that. And I said, well, Jack, I'll tell you what. I said, this next Saturday, I think it was a Thursday, me and him was riding around together. I said, Saturday, I'm doing a healing school, and the first 2 hours, I'm going to be talking about sin and sickness and how they're directly related. He said, I'll make sure I'm there. And so he was. He was there. And I taught about sin and sickness for 2 solid hours, used Scripture. And, of course, after that was over, Jack came up and said, how did I miss that? How did I miss that? Well, I don't know. He's not very brilliant. He's only a doctor, you know. I mean, a man that's got a doctor's degree, he's brilliant. You know that? I don't know whether you agree with me or not, but I'm telling you, a man that can go through life and get a PhD, he's not stupid. You know, he can't be stupid and wind up with a degree like that and be a doctor. But he had missed everything about sin and sickness, hadn't you, Jack?
Absolutely.
But once you saw it and your eyes were opened, it's everywhere. It's everywhere in God's Word. And so then later, Jack told me after he studied the Word a little different, he said, Thurman, I don't know how in the world I missed that. He said, it's everywhere in God's Word. And it is. Is there anybody in here besides me that watched that wedding last night on the news? Oh, there's two. Y'all watched it too? Oh, okay. So there's a few of us that saw this. You notice they used the name of God a few times, didn't they? But they never used the name of Jesus. They did not. So anyway, I just stood in awe as I thought to myself how a church, and the thing was packed out. It was full of people. That church was full of people, and I thought virtually nobody in that church knows what God's Word has to say about what they were doing. Their eyes had been blinded, and they don't know. Now, it's amazing. I'm going to start off today, and we'll use the King James, I guess. That'd be a good place to start. I'm going to use Romans 1, 17 through 32. I want to see what this has to say about life. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You know, that's how we get everything done. The just shall live by faith. Now, living by faith is living by the Word of God. That's what faith is, the Word of God. Just like the precious little lady up here on the front row today. Last Sunday was the first time I'd ever seen them, I think. Wasn't that the first time I'd ever met y'all? Well, let me tell you that when they came in and they sat down right there in that same place, I said, what's wrong with you? You know what came out of his mouth, the very first words? She's terminal. That was the first words that came out of his mouth. She's terminal. Is that right? And you agreed with him, you know, because she had cancer. And I told her, I said, well, we've got to get rid of the sins. And we went over a lot of things and found some issues. They weren't doing exactly what God says about walking in love. As all of us that are Christians know, there's only one commandment God gave us as his children under the new covenant, and that's walking in love. Is that right? Okay, you can't walk in faith till you walk in love. See, your faith works through love. So if we don't walk in love, then we can't walk by faith. And so when we find out that all we got to do is walk in love, forgive everybody from our heart, and then change our confession to line up with the Word of God. And then, of course, she was scheduled for chemo treatments this week, but her statement to me is, what should I do? I said, you're either going to trust God and live, or you're going to not trust God, and you're going to trust those doctors, and you're going to go back, and you're going to die. And therefore, then you're terminal. So she decided she'd trust God and take no more chemo treatments. And today, here she is walking around feeling a whole lot better. Wow. Oh, she's a whole lot better today, and she's been to the best doctor in the universe, right? And his name is Jesus. Is that right? And so, see, some of the things that belong to us, we don't know they belong to us because the Word of God clearly says in Psalms 107, verse 20, and he sent his Word and did what to us?
Healed us.
He sent his Word and healed us. So when we find out what he said in his Word, we take those promises and we confess our sin. We stand on those promises. Now we've been to the greatest doctor in the universe, right? And when we do what he says, when we trust him 100%, wow, in just a few days, you can feel a lot better, can't you? Yeah. The beautiful part, you know, of course, I've always been this way. They say I'm as tight as any skin flint they ever seen. I can squeeze a dime out of a penny. I am really tight. So one thing I love about Jesus, in all the times he's healed me, he's never charged me a penny. He doesn't charge anything. Isn't he wonderful?
He is.
He's the most awesome, wonderful God that there is. He heals us. He sent his Word and healed us. And if we will just learn his Word, we can stand on his Word and we can get healed. And we've seen the Lord heal lots and lots of people. But we're going to live, and we're going to live and walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. Well, that means the just, which is us. Now, it's supposed to be us, the church, but not all of the church is just. Some of us haven't figured out what being righteous and holy is. And so, but if we do, then it says the just shall live by faith. I think what God does for us when we seek him, in fact, I got an email this week from a lady, and she said I had been somewhere, and she got into a discussion with somebody about law and grace. She said, I never really understood law and grace, but I was trying my best to get in on this conversation. And she said, when I left the person, I said, Lord, I need you to give me some information on law and grace. I need to understand this. She said, I got home, and in the mail, I had a CD from Thurman Scrivener, the title, Law and Grace. She said, I put that on and listened to it, and she said, I have never seen a description of law and grace so simple in my life. She said, by the time I got through listening to that CD, I understood law and grace. I thought, isn't God wonderful? You don't understand something, you ask Him for information, He will send you to the right place. And just like people, you have no idea how many people that have come here that said, I said, Lord, I have this terrible disease. I need you to show me what I need to do to get healed. And they wind up out here. I think about this lady, her and her husband. In fact, I was at Home Depot the other day and getting some stuff. And there was a guy, he says, aren't you Thurman Scrivener? I said, yes, I am. He said, don't you have a healing ministry? I said, yes, I do. He said, I knew it. He said, I knew it. He said, I'm so-and-so, and I go to a Baptist church over here, and told me some little town over here not far away. He said, I go to a Baptist church over there, and said, we have a man and a woman in that church that had a son that had asthma. Had asthma really bad, had trouble breathing, and so the church prayed and asked the Lord what they needed to do about this. And said, the Lord spoke to the mother and told her, now they're in a Baptist church, they're praying what to do. And the Lord spoke to the mother and said, take the boy to the Living Savior Church and have Thurman Scrivener pray for him and I will heal your son. I said, isn't that amazing? He said, they told us that. They found your church. They brought the boy over there. You went through your spell with them, whatever, and they repented of sin. You prayed and said, the boy has never had an attack of asthma again. And does our God know where faith is at? The just shall live by faith. Well, when he's got finds a man of faith, he'll use you for his glory. You know that? Isn't that wonderful to be in a place where you can be used for God's glory? I love being used by God because I know I couldn't heal a fly, but all I can do is tell you what he said in his word, and then I know he could heal anything. You know, nothing is difficult for God. We've seen him heal everything known to man, I think. But the just shall live by faith. That's us. We're supposed to be living by the word of God. Now then, verse 18 says, for the wrath of God. Now, I don't even want to think about that, do you? The wrath of God? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. Wow. In the unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. Now then, the wrath of God is something that I don't want to have to deal with. Do you? No. Because when I think about the wrath of God, I mean, I think about me as a dad when I was raising my children. If they push me and push me and push me, I would threaten them, if you do that one more time, I'm going to give you a spanking. And if they did it one more time and I lost it, it wasn't pretty. Have some of y'all ever been on the other end of that stick? Have we all been there and done that, huh? I don't like it. I didn't want to do it, but I promised them I would. And that's when I think about my wrath come out on my children. And I tried to never spank my children when I was angry, because I always whipped them too hard if I was mad. You know what I mean, right? So I do not want to be under the wrath of God. If God pours out his wrath upon you, you're in trouble. Is that right? And I got a feeling that wrath is fixing to fall upon this world. In fact, I believe it's already falling to a degree. I don't think he's pouring his wrath out upon the church yet, but I think he is pouring out his discipline, I shall use it that way. He definitely disciplines us when we get out of our love walk. That's an absolute fact. You know, when you get out of a love walk with God, He's going to discipline you. I remember one night Cheryl was up reading the Bible late at night, and I happened to get up to go to the bathroom there. She was sitting over there reading the Bible, and she said, "Honey, do you know in Job 33 it says God disciplines His people with sickness and pain deep in their bones?" I said, "Yes, I know that." She said, "I had never seen that." Verse 19. Boy, it made an impression on you, didn't it? In chapter 33, verse 19, in the NLT, that's what she was reading. She was reading the NLT. In the King James, it says God chastens His children, whereas the NLT says God disciplines His children with sickness and pain deep in their bones. Now then, I don't know about you, but I've asked that question since she asked me that question that night, since she didn't know that. I've asked that question in a lot of services over the country, different places we've been. I said, "How many of y'all believe God will discipline you with sickness and pain deep in your body?" And guess what? You virtually never have a taker. Nobody believes that. But I said, "If I can show it to you, it's written in God's Word, would you believe it then?" And some say, "I'm not sure. I don't believe it. They don't believe God would give us a spanking." But He does. He does. He wants to bring us to a place to teach us how to walk with Him in faith. And let me tell you, just like us, you know, some people say, "I never spanked my children in my whole life." And I said, "Well, you know, you probably raised a couple of little hellions." You know, because Jesus said that the rod of correction will drive the evil far from your children. And so anybody that never disciplines their children, the children probably turn out to be not so good a child. You know that? In other words, the Bible says if you love your children, you'll discipline your children. If you don't love your children, you won't discipline your children. And then your children may turn out to be what you didn't want them to be. But anyway, verse 20 and 21, let's go on here. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so as they are without excuse." You know, I was asked that question a lot of times in my life before I knew this answer. When somebody would say, "What do you think about somebody that's never heard about God? Are they going to be held accountable?" And at first, I didn't know that answer. But of course, right here is the answer. It tells us that every human being on this earth is going to be without excuse, but for no other reason, just because you look and you say, "Where did all this come from?" And He's going to reveal it to you. "I did this. So you're responsible to me." You know, what really, really, I guess you say, rattles my cage. Just a few months ago, we had Howard Pittman here, and in 1979, Howard Pittman died as a Baptist preacher and went to heaven. And on the way to heaven, he was walking down a highway, and the Lord asked him, "Howard, do you know where you are?" And he said, "Well, Lord, I'm on a highway." He said, "Yes, you're on the highway to heaven." He said, "Lord, there's a literal highway to heaven?" He said, "Howard, didn't you read my book?" Now, Howard was a Baptist preacher. He said, "Well, yes, Lord, I did." He said, "Well, then you would have known in the book of Isaiah, I talked about the highway to heaven." He said, "Lord, I didn't know there was a literal highway to heaven." He said, "If there hadn't have been, I wouldn't have put it in my book." So he said, "Yes, there's a highway to heaven." He said, "Howard, how many people do you see walking on the highway to heaven?" And he counted them, and he said, "Lord, there's 50. He said, "That's exactly right. There's 50. He said, "Now in the time on earth, said here in heaven, there's no time, but said on earth, there is time. And he said, from the time you had your aneurysm until right now, 15 minutes has elapsed on earth. And in that 15 minutes, 2,000 people have died." Howard said, "Lord, but there's only 50 on the highway to heaven. So where's the other 1,950? He said, "They didn't believe me. So they're all going to hell." Can you imagine that? Every 15 minutes, 2,000 people die, and only 50 of them get to go to heaven? That's mind-boggling to me. You know, to think that only 50 out of 2,000 have found the answer to get to go to heaven, but I'm going to tell you that the number is, that's only 2.5% But I'm going to tell you that within the church today, there's less than 2.5% of the people that believe the promises of God that call themselves Christians. You know, we just don't believe these promises. If we believe these promises, we could do just exactly like this lady. We could be here one Sunday and her husband's telling me she's terminal and she can't hardly even stand up, and she believed God and God prayed for her, and the next week she's here walking around, running around. See, if you believe God, but you don't go back to the doctor, you go to Jesus. And that's just what the Master said. When you're prayed for, you must believe with no doubt in your heart. In other words, you must be prayed for in faith with nothing wavering. He said, after you're prayed for, you got to believe that I will do what I promised you I would do. And that means you do not go back to a doctor. I'm the best doctor in the world. You don't need another doctor besides me, he says. Just like that hand was tore all to pieces. They got it hung in an overhead door spring in a shop, and it literally tore that hand all to pieces. And in fact, Jack right there told me that when he saw it, it happened on Friday, he saw it on Sunday. He said, Thurman, you really need about 200 stitches in that hand. 200 stitches. I didn't take any stitches. I let Jesus fix it, and look how good it works. And how many scars do you see on there? None. Doesn't he do beautiful work?
Yes, amen.
So he's worthy to be trusted.
Absolutely.
The Master is worthy to be trusted. He is an awesome God. In fact, I've had lots of people that have heard that on CD when they come to see me. First thing they say, I want to see your hand. I said, okay. I knew they've heard the tape or something. And they look at it, and they look at it, and they look at it, and say, my gosh, there's not even any scars. Man, he does good work, though, doesn't he, Jack? Perfect work. And my hand works, too. And I have feeling in my fingers and everything. They all work. Okay, let's go on. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. That's where a lot of the church is at today. I mean, when I saw this wedding last night on the news, and I saw what they were doing, I thought, those people's minds have been darkened to the truth. They don't know the truth. Here, a year or two ago, there was the Presbyterians had a meeting to see if they should be able to ordain homosexuals in their church. And they were going to vote at 2 o'clock, I believe it was on Friday or something like that. Anyway, they were going to vote at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon. They'd been meeting all week discussing this. Now, here it's noontime on Friday, and there's not a cloud in the sky. There's absolutely no bad weather forecast for Minneapolis whatsoever. And just a few minutes before they are going to go in to vote, a tornado forms right down on Interstate 35, comes right down the freeway, don't hit no buildings, comes right down the freeway, hits this big convention center and this Presbyterian church and tears all kinds of stuff up, breaks the cross off the top and all kinds of things, and then it just goes into atmosphere and goes away. And some of the people said, I wonder if that was God trying to tell us he ain't happy with what we're doing. How many of you believe that was God? I believe that was God telling them people, I ain't happy with what you're doing. In other words, my church is supposed to be holy. Is that what he said? We ain't supposed to be bringing a bunch of people in here that have perverted lifestyles. If we bring a homosexual in here, we need to tell them about Jesus, then they need to get saved. You know, how many times maybe you've said it yourself at times, especially I've said, well, what you need to do is read the Bible. And people say, but I can't understand the Bible. I've read it before, but I don't understand it. You've heard that, haven't you, Jack? Being a Baptist, you've heard lots of people in the Baptist church say, I don't do no good to read that book. I can't understand it no way. What is our answer to them? They need to get saved. They need to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because the Scripture says you cannot understand the Scripture until you become a spiritual person. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, then and only then. And then sometimes when you come and hear somebody talk about spiritual things, if you're not prayed up, I mean, you know how hard it probably was for this couple since they had an appointment with the doctor Monday to go back and have a chemo treatment. You know how hard it probably was for them to say, we're not going to do that? They're very hard, because we think doctors can cure us with chemo, but all they do is kill us. Yeah, and it costs money and they kill us. But Jesus, his medicine don't have any side effects. You know, it's amazing how wonderful it is. But still, even though you've been in church maybe all your life, it's difficult to hear about the healing power of Jesus and then come and have somebody pray for you like myself or my team of people here and then walk off and say, I'm going to have to believe what that man told me from that book. And if they believe what's written in the book, then they stop looking to the man that prayed for them and start looking to the healer. And when they start looking to the healer, then that's when he shows up. You know, he heals you, and then you begin to get to feeling good. And just like, I mean, gosh, I couldn't even tell you how many people we've seen that's healed right here in this church. I've seen so many people that God has healed right here. And I just stand in awe at all of them. It's just amazing. But when these people knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now, if we know God, let me ask you all this question, since you know you had a miracle this week already. Have you been praising God this week? Both of you, right? Well, see, both of you. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to glorify and praise him all the time, right? Yeah. And some of us don't do that. You know, some of us never glorify and praise God until we get into a time of need with God. Is that right? I mean, I tell this story often. I say, you know, you're a healthy man. You know, you're providing for your family. You know, you got a wife and she's healthy, and you got a couple of children and two or three. They're all healthy, and everybody's got their own car. You got your house. Maybe your cars are paid for. Your house payments is caught up, and you got $10,000 in the bank. And somebody said, "Do you go to church Sunday?" He said, "No, I ain't got time to go to church. I got too many other things to do." And said, "Well, how would you like to be sick?" "Oh, I ain't gonna be sick. I'm in good shape." You keep up doing what you're doing, not praising God, and he's blessed you with everything. You got a good wife, you got good health, she's healthy, you know, your kids are healthy, your cars are paid for, you got a house payment paid up, and you got $10,000 in the bank, and you ain't praising God for that. I tell you, you ain't gonna be healthy long. Something's gonna come along that's going to put you in a place of discipline where God's gonna say, "Oh, you cannot glorify me in where I put you? You can't thank me for everything I've done. Well, let me see what happens when I put this little hurt on you." And let me tell you what, whenever we get into pain and suffering and can't walk, or the doctor says you're terminal, it's real easy to look for another source, isn't it, brother? Yeah. Well, see, Jesus never says there's no answer. And, you know, when my granddaughter, technically speaking, Caitlin, 13 years ago, when she was killed in that car wreck, when the doctors told me, "It's over, she cannot live." Well, I had that wonderful promise of John 15:7. Now then, John 15:7 has a requirement. It says, if. Big word, isn't it? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you can ask me anything you want to and I'll do it for you. Is that awesome? But the problem is we spend too much time with the world and not enough time with God, so we don't know who he is. And so if I hadn't have been in the Word and I hadn't have known all those promises of God, I guarantee my little 16-year-old granddaughter would have died 13 years ago, Ro. I wouldn't have had her all these years. So it takes faith. The just shall live by faith. From beginning to end of the time you accept Jesus till you go home, you need to learn to walk by faith. Walk in the promises of God. If you know the promises of God, you can walk in those promises, then he'll do exactly what he said in those promises. And it ain't no problem to heal cancer. You know, I've seen the Lord heal so many people with terminal cancer. I mean, I remember when Ed Brock, of course, we were all in a Baptist church. I'd never been to any other kind of a church but Baptist. And in 1986, a good friend of mine, which was 42 years of age, came down with a very short breath. He had trouble breathing. So he didn't even think about praying, although he's a good Christian man. The first thing he thought about, guess what? What most people do when they get short of breath, they can't breathe? Go to the doctor. That's exactly what he did. He went to the doctor. The doctors began to check him down here at Louisville Hospital. They began to check him, and first thing you know, they said, "Well, we need to do exploratory surgery. It appears there's something wrong with you inside." So they cut him open, went inside of him, and the diagnosis was stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer at 42 years of age in every organ of his body. You have a few weeks left to live. Hey, That's not what he wanted to hear at 42. But this man had been giving God Sunday. And I didn't know all this at the time, but we later learned it. But he was giving God one day a week, which is what a lot of people do. Some people don't even give him one day a week. Some people give him one day a month. You know what I mean, right? Well, I ain't got time to go to church. I got other things to do, you know. But, you know, what are we supposed to put before God? That's absolutely right, brother. Nothing. He is to be number one in our life, right? And if he's not number one in your life, I'm guaranteeing somewhere along the line, he's going to make you know that you need him. You're going to figure that out. But anyway, when they done the exploratory surgery on Ed Brock, when I went to visit him that night, when his wife came to the door and I said, Ruthie, I said, what's the problem with Ed? She said, Thurman, they done exploratory surgery on him today, and he has stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in every organ of his body. He has a few weeks at best to live. Now, he's 42. They've been married probably 20 years or 25 years. And just as clear as a bell, I heard this voice. Son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him. Now, I'm a Southern Baptist. I ain't never seen a terminal cancer patient healed in my life. Never. I don't know nothing about healing. So I pray with her, and then I walk down that hall. And as I walk down that hall, I kind of look up and I said, God, I knew that was you that you spoke to me, but you didn't hear what she said. She said he has terminal cancer. Now, can you imagine that thought that God didn't hear? Is God hard hearing? If I heard it, do you think he could hear it? I guarantee. But see, at that time, I really didn't know God as the healer. I didn't know these promises. I did not know these things. So on the way home, I said, Lord, I know you said in your word, for I'm supposed to test every spirit. That is written in 1 John, isn't it? So I'm supposed to test every spirit. So I got home that night, and I began to look up in my Bible things about healing. Now, I had never done this before. So I began to look up healing. Well, finally, after a few hours of research and study, I came to this wonderful promise. Now, let's remember where we are here at Romans 1:21, and let's go to James 5:14, 15, and 16. I want to show you what the Word of God says. This is the scripture that I found in James 5:14, 15. Look what this says. Now, this is a promise to everybody. Is any sick among you? Who does that include? Is that all of us? Who's he talking to here? The church. James the apostle is talking to the church. I don't understand why the church don't believe God. But he says there, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, that doesn't sound too difficult, does it? Not difficult at all. Well, let's see what verse 15 says. And the prayer of faith. Uh-oh, there's a requirement. The prayer of what? Oh, so this should be the prayer of faith, right? Oh, God, if it be your will you please heal this woman? Do you hear any faith in that?
No.
That didn't sound like a prayer of faith to me, did it? Huh? So you don't want a man like that praying for you, do you? No. If God made a promise like this, this is what you want to hear. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I lay my hand on this man and anoint him with oil, I praise you and thank you that the devils of hell got to leave him. And this man's healed because it's written in your word. Now, Lord, thank you. It's done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, does that sound a little better? Huh?
I feel better already.
Hey, praise. I love it. He said he feels better already. Praise the Lord. Is that what God said, brother? Is that what God says? Now, if God said this is in his word, why do we not believe him? You know, I mean, just think. And the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, not the prayer of unbelief, but the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven. What else do you need? You need your sins forgiven. You need to be prayed for in faith. And with that promise right there, God will do it. Will he not?
Amen.
And so it took me 3 weeks to convince Ed Brock that scripture meant what it said. This was on Wednesday night when I found this. And the next Sunday afternoon when I went out to his house and told him I had a word from the Lord, and I showed him this verse. He said, Thurman, I've been in church. I'm 42 years old. He said, I've been in church all my life. He said, I've been in Sunday school classes and everything. And he said, I have never heard that verse taught. in my life. I told him, I said, Ed, I am a Sunday school teacher in the Baptist church, and I ain't never heard that verse either. I didn't know it was in God's Word till Wednesday night when I found it. How can you be a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church and not know this verse is in the New Testament? Somebody else is directing you in what you're teaching, and it's not the Holy Spirit. You know that? See, the Holy Spirit's supposed to be our teacher. So what I needed to do as a Sunday school teacher in any church, I need to talk to God and ask Him to reveal to me the truth of His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I need to read the entire New Testament. You know, maybe He gives me the book of Matthew to read this week. Okay, so I read it. Maybe read it two or three times. But as I read through there, it just like maybe give me the book of James. Maybe I read through it and didn't get a thing. It's only five chapters. Wouldn't take long, right? But if He's ready for me to get a hold of that, maybe the third or fourth time through, I read that and I say, is any sick among you? And all of a sudden He slaps me on the chops and says, pay attention. I got a powerful verse here that'll get people healed if you'll just believe me. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Is any sick among you? And says, and the prayer of faith, does it say it might save the sick? And the prayer of faith will do what? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And who? The Lord? Now, is that the best doctor in the world? Yes, the best doctor in the world. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if we've committed sins, they shall be forgiven. I mean, well, you got your sins forgiven. You got the healing power of Jesus promised and everything else. If we only anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Isn't that amazing? So it took me 3 weeks to convince Ed Brock that that verse meant what it said. I remember every time I'd go to the hospital to see him when he was in bad shape, I'd say, Ed, please don't die. Believe God's Word. And this is what Ed would tell me. Thurman, I want God's Word to be done, but I don't know what it is. I thought, what is it he doesn't understand about what I'm reading? Is this book God's last will and testament? Yes. And did he die to make sure that it was good? Yes. Did he rise again from the dead to watch over to make sure we obey it? Yes. Man, you can't beat a deal like that, can you? You know, you can't beat a deal like that. That'd be kind of like a dad saying, okay, I'm going to leave my estate divided up like this to my eight children. I want each one of you children to get this, 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 and this. And so then you die. And so then they go out and they each one of them gets them a lawyer and say, but I don't want what dad, I want this. And we're going to have a knockdown drag out until we get this. And then dad rises from the dead and says, no, okay, we're going to do this like I said. When's the last time we saw a deal like that? Only Jesus is the only one ever done that, right? Nobody else has ever raised from the dead. You know, only Jesus. You know, so, but isn't it amazing what he did? He put this last will and testament, he died to seal it, and then he rose from the dead and watches over to make sure that it happens, just like he said. Okay, let's go back to verse 22 in the Romans. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We have a lot of people in a lot of churches today that professing themselves to be wise, they have absolutely become absolute fools. You know, when I saw that wedding last night in that Methodist church, I thought, wow, this description in Romans chapter 1 fits these people. You know, I couldn't, if I had been in that church, I'd have had to jump up back there and say, you know, I need to pray for this whole bunch because y'all need your eyes opened to what's going on here. Everybody, their eyes are blinded. Verse 23. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. That's what we do. When we go, now, you know, no offense to doctors, but the doctor should be for the lost world, not for the church. Amen. When we as Christians trust the doctor more than we trust God, we're not where He wants us to be. He wants us to trust Him. He wants to be glorified. And so when we trust Him, if we get our sin confessed and start walking in love, then we can walk in love, and then our faith will work, and then God will heal our physical bodies, and He don't charge us nothing. And as long as you walk in that love, you can get strong and go and do things for many years to come. Isn't that wonderful? But it's all through the promises of God. He made those promises, did He not? Yeah. Everything we looked at in His Word, He did those things. Those are not things that I didn't write the book. God wrote the book. You know, I mean, there are some places in God's Word that, and it's always been like this, that whenever the prophet or the man of God, the teacher or the pastor, whatever is expounding on the Word of God, there is times that people will see something that you, or hear something you say, and they say, this guy's lost his mind. And he's reading right out of the book. So if I've lost my mind, hey, you don't kill the messenger here. Or that's kind of like yesterday, I was met with a couple of appraisal guys. They're going to widen Highway 156 over here, four lanes going all the way out to 114 from Justin. And I happen to have a little piece of land. My son has a little piece of land. And we didn't know how much they were going to take, but now we found out yesterday they're going to take 14 foot of our property. Okay, now, of course, for me, that 14 foot is just a piece of gravel dirt, you know, with a metal fence around it is all that is. But for my son, it's going to be about 30 parking spots. You know, he's going to lose about 30 parking spots down through there. So I told the guy, I said, when they got through, I said, okay, so if we disagree with what y'all are doing, do I shoot you guys? He said, no, you go to Texas DOT or whatever it is. He said, I'll even give you their address. But he said, I'm just a messenger. I thought, that sounds like a preacher, doesn't it? You don't want to lose your life over some dinky little thing like a piece of land. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. I have never understood this. God made male and female. And He made sex. And He says sex outside of wedlock is absolutely taboo. There is to be no sex between any man and woman until they get married. And then when you get married, God says, this is my wedding gift to you from now on. Enjoy your sexual relationship with each other. So people that don't understand that, they get cheated out of life. I mean, I think about what the Scripture says. The Scripture, I done a teaching here a while back on husbands and wives, or the marriage rules, I think is what I called it. But you know, when I look at the number of times that a man comes to me or a woman comes to me and she's all upset at her husband, and I said, well, why? She said, because he run around on me. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Did you give him sex every night? Well, no, I was too tired. I said, well, you know, it doesn't make any difference whether you're tired or not. I said, the Word of God says you, as a wife, are never to withhold sex from your husband. Never. I said, that's what it says. Women said, I have something to say about this. I said, no, you don't. God is the one that said, the woman was made for the man, and she is never to withhold her sex from her husband. Never. And then she said, well, mine run around on me, so I would not have sex with him. I said, you know why he ran around on you? Because you withheld sex from him. I said, when you withheld sex from your husband, you were breaking God's law. You did what God told you not to do. So after you being too tired, supposedly, not having sex with your husband every night or two or three times a day, whatever, when they're young, men like to have sex. And if you girls don't know that, you need to know that, because I'm telling you, I'm a man and I've been married. And so I know what it's all about. Amen. I know that when you're young, you want sex. That's just the way God made a man. Is that right? I don't care what man you are. When you're young, you wanted a woman. That's why you got married. Some people say, no, he married me because he loved me. No, he didn't marry you because he loved you. He married you because he wanted to go to bed with you. That's why he married you. He might have later learned to love you, you know, but at first he married you because he wanted sex. That's why, if it wasn't for sex, men wouldn't get married. And let me tell you, that's why so many women and men don't get married today, is because they have not realized, they have realized that they can get the milk for free, you might say, without getting married. So now I ain't got to keep up with you. I ain't got to worry about you. I don't have to provide for you. I'll just keep you over here. And there was, in fact, a young girl here a while back that was come here sick, had all kinds of things wrong with her. And she was a beautiful little girl, about 26, 7, 8 years old. She had all kinds of problems. And I said, are you married? She says, no. I said, are you having sex with some boy? She said, well, yeah, I'm living with a boy. I said, that's why you're sick. She said, what? I said, you're a daughter of God, right? Yes. I said, well, God is disciplining you because you're having sex with a boy. I said, is that boy saved? She said, no, he won't even go to church with me. I said, number one, God tells you, you're not to have nothing to do with anybody that's an unbeliever. I said, that's written in God's word. That's true, is it not? I said, now that here you are sleeping with this guy, living with this guy, he's having sex with you, he's an unbeliever, you're a believer, so God is disciplining you with sickness and pain deep in your body, and that's why you got this diarrhea, this sickness, this pain, the stomach cramps and everything else. I said, girl, I guarantee if you'll repent right this minute and tell God you're sorry, and you'll never go to bed with another man until you get married, I said, I guarantee I'll pray for you and God will heal you. Man, she said, you believe that, don't you? I said, honey, I know that. It's written in God's word. I know that's why you're sick. So she repented, and I said, now go home and tell the boy he ain't going to have no more sex from you until he puts a ring on your finger. Just walk in and tell him, there ain't going to be no more sex. You know, when you marry me, put a ring on my finger, then I'll go to bed with you. But until you do, ain't going to be no more sex. A couple Sundays later, she come back crying. When she walked in the door, she was crying. She said, Pastor, I have got to give my testimony. I said, okay. So she came up here and said, the first time I came here and heard him tell me this story about why I was sick, she said, I hated him. I thought he couldn't be true. Well, she said, I was enjoying living with this boy. And he told me I couldn't do that because God had said in the word I couldn't do that. So she said, I was sick as I could be, and I repented right here. And before I got to the door going home, every source of my sickness was gone. She said, before I got to the door, she said, I've had no more stomach cramps. I've had no more diarrhea. I've had no more splitting headaches. I've had nothing wrong with me for 2 weeks. But said, I went straight home and told that boy, you will never go to bed with me again until you put a ring on my finger. Do you want to marry me? And he said, absolutely not. I am not going to get married. So she said, well, then you're out of here. And so said, he had no problem picking up and leaving. I told her, I said, if he's the right one and he does love you, he'll marry you. If he does not love you and he's just there to get the free milk, so as to speak, I said, then he's going to walk off and leave. And I said, he wasn't the one God had planned for you anyway. And so she did. She got healed, everything. And a few months later, she came out here and wanted me, Cheryl and I, to pray for her husband. We prayed for her, a wonderful husband, and God gave that girl a handsome young man that was just a beautiful guy, handsome guy, good guy, hardworking guy, and now they have two beautiful children. When you do it God's way. And guess what? She's had no more sickness. Isn't that amazing? You know, but she had all this sickness and disease because when she was disobeying God, God was disciplining her with sickness and pain to get her attention. And she didn't have a clue. And of course, first time I told her that, she walked out here saying, told her mother and dad that day, said, I hate that preacher. I will never come back to this church. Never again. But they finally enticed her to come back. And when she did that time, she got healed. It changed her life forever. Guess what? God's here to change our life forever. He wants us to do things His way. And when we do it His way, He blesses our socks off. When we don't do it His way, He knows how to put hurt and pain on you. Doesn't He, Jack? He can put the pain on you, I tell you for sure. He can make you wish you had done things right. But when these people left the natural use of the men or the woman and burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men working these terrible things unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I would hate to get to the point where God just says, okay, do what you want to do. Wouldn't you? Because that means the Spirit has left you. And if God just says, do what you want to do. Have we ever done that to our own children? We have, haven't we? You know, you try your best to get your children's attention, to get them to pay attention, to get them to do things. And finally, if they just will not do what you say, especially if they're grown kids, you finally just back off and say, okay, do what you want to do. I don't want to ever hear that with God, with me. I don't never want him to get to a point where he says, okay, Thurman, I've told you what's right. I've told you what's wrong. And you've not listened. Now you're doing it your way. So I'm just going to just say, okay, go do what you want to do. That's not what I want to hear God say. That means he just dropped me. I don't want to be dropped by God. Do you?
No.
Wow. Listen to the ice falling out there, or the rain, whatever. Well, did we last week pray for rain?
Yes.
We have asked the Lord to give us it. Huh?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, if it is whatever it is, yeah, praise the Lord. Well, one thing about it, as long as we got heat and everything, we got lots of room in here, you know, we got some nice warm benches, you know, we could sleep here if we had to. You know, we could do whatever we have to do. Because we know, since we're from Texas, we know that a day or two it's going to be okay, right? Was it 82 degrees yesterday? We were up on top of a building working yesterday, 82 degrees. I was sweating and everything else. And I get up this morning, there's ice everywhere. I thought only in Texas. That's where it goes. But, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, and covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers, verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Wow, 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, wow, unmerciful. 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they give pleasure in them that do them, have pleasure. Now, what they're doing, I think about the homosexual world. When I was a young man, I know there was a few homosexuals. I knew there was a few lesbians, but you never saw them talk about it. And for sure, the people that were that kind of people, they didn't go try to convince somebody else to be like them. They just didn't do that. But today, this little tiny handful of people, and it's a tiny little number. And they say 3%, I bet it's less than 1%. Really. I mean, we got 350 million people in America. 1% of that would be a lot. I don't think it's even that many. But it's kind of like when I was a kid in the 60s, in the early 60s, we had one woman that decided that she would stop prayer in school. And she did. And you know the reason she did? It's because men like me didn't do nothing about it. If we had a raised up in America, if just the church pastors, I hold us accountable. If we had raised ourselves up and told our churches, we need to go down and contact our senators or our congressmen or whatever, and we need to go by the multitudes and tell them, we want prayer in school. We want our children to read the textbook, the Word of God. That's the book we want to use for our textbook. Well, let me tell you, it might not have had a tremendous impact on the lost kids, but it certainly would have had an impact on the saved kids. You know, lost children can't understand the Bible anyway, but saved children can. And by not doing nothing, we now have a lot more lost kids than we would have had if we'd have taught them the Word of God. Because those lost kids, or those saved kids that we didn't teach, they didn't learn the Word of God. So when it came for that time for them to have children, they didn't read the Scripture to their children. And so their children grow up knowing nothing. Like the other day, I was at a church meeting, 20 or 30 young boys there at that meeting, and they were talking football. I mean, it's a church meeting. Nobody's talking about Jesus, but they're talking football. I said, how many of you boys know who the quarterback is for the Dallas Cowboys? Guess how many of them knew? Every one of them knew. No questions asked. I said, how many of you boys can name the apostles, the original first 12 apostles? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody could name the apostles. I just, okay, you name three or four of them. They can't. I said, can you tell me what the first four books of the Bible are? They couldn't do it. I thought, wow. And then this one young man, I thought, well, I got to go, boys. I'm going to see y'all later. And so I walked out. I'm shaking hands with these boys. I said, you boys need to get in the Word. And then I come to this one great big old boy. He looked like a real football player. He probably weighed about 220. He was about 6'4". Big old healthy boy. And I stuck my hand out, and he said, Mr. Scrivener, I can't shake hands with you. I said, why? He said, because I've got the flu, and I've been coughing and sneezing in my hand, and so I don't want to get it on you because I know you'll catch it. I told him, I said, son, I'm not susceptible to the flu. It don't have no impact on me whatsoever. I said, give me your hand. He said, but no. I said, give me your hand. So he stuck his hand out, and I shook it and really watered my hand all over his real good. I said, that flu has no hold on me. I said, Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease on the cross. So sickness has no hold on me. Did Jesus say the same thing about himself? Yes. Yeah, the devil has nothing in me. You know, I don't have any sin in my life, so he has no hold on me. So if Jesus said he has no hold on me, but yet I'm going to die for your sickness and I'm going to remove your disease. I don't know about you, but I'm going to let Jesus take my sickness and my disease and I'm going to walk in divine health. Aren't you, girl? Yes, that's what we need to do. Now then, I want to go to 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll just hit those 10, 11 verses, and then we'll quit. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Are we supposed to be believers here? So when we become a believer, we're supposed to obtain this precious faith, right? That's what we're supposed to have, this precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So this grace and peace is going to be multiplied to us by our studying the Word, right? If we don't study the Word, we're not going to have this. Then he says in verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us. Now that's what blows me away. When I come to a word like that right there, according as his divine power. Is there anything greater than God's divine power? No, there ain't nothing even close. Nothing. According as his divine power has given unto us, you and me, how many things? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. So what has he given us? Everything we need, right? Isn't that awesome? As given unto us life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Wow, verse 4, let's look at this. This is, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Is that an awesome statement? Now then, since this lady just got healed, if we were to take Matthew 18:19, it says, again I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask me for, it shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Is that an awesome promise?
Awesome.
Do you think he means it? So you see what I mean? See, Jesus made us all these wonderful, awesome promises. And then after, I mean, that's just one. But he gave us all these awesome, wonderful, precious promises. The book is full of them. See, last week we went over a whole bunch of them, didn't we? And this week we've hit a few more of them. But just think, if you take those precious promises and we stand on those, he says that's going to bring us to a point that we might be a partaker of his divine nature. Now, to be a partaker of God's divine nature, is God ever terminal? No. As Christians, we need to take that word out of our vocabulary, don't we, brother? You see what I mean? See, the Master said, life and death is in that tongue. Is that right? That's what he said. The power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of mine and your tongue. Sometimes I think I need to pull mine out and put a pin on it. Where I can't talk. Because I get myself in too much trouble when I open my mouth. But we all do that. Do we not? Now then, if we can train ourselves with this book, he's given us these exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature of God. If we can learn to, quote, spit out of our mouth the promises of God, like a while ago, of course, I know he was just kidding, but he might not have been kidding me. When I prayed the prayer of unbelief for her, and then I come along and prayed the prayer of faith for him, he said he feels better already. Do you know that's the way it should really work? You know, if there's something wrong with us, we should pray that prayer of faith and we should feel better right then. But if we don't feel better, we know that we still have the answer because God made us the promise, right? And that's how we get healed. He sent his word and healed us. Is that what he said? Yes. He sent and delivered us. That's right. He sent his word to save us, to heal us, and deliver us. If we will just believe these promises, he's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Let's go back to verse 3 one more time. Back up to 3. According as his divine power, he's given unto us, don't you just love that? He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So what did he leave out? What did he leave out, Jack? Oh, that's right. He didn't put that in there, did he? That doesn't pertain to life and godliness, does it? Sickness and disease, he does not want us to have. But if we don't serve him and love him and worship him, it will come upon us, won't it? Yeah, it will come upon us. You know, and it's a whole lot easier for God to get your attention when you're laying down having to look up. You get that? When you're laying down and you can't hardly turn over in bed, it's real easy for the Master to walk up and tap you on the shoulder and say, Thurman, do I have your attention yet? Y'all know what I mean, right? When you're hurting and you're, like I say, if I feel good, me and Eric, if we're out working together and I feel good and he feels good, man, we might not even mention God for 30 minutes or something, you know it? But if something happens, I tell the story often about the time Cheryl and I come back from Odessa, Lubbock area out there, in the Seneca, and we come in a rain when all three GPSs failed that day. Unbelievable. You can't believe I had this problem. But all three of them failed. I asked the Lord to help me find the airport. We finally got down. It was a low ceiling, less than 1,000 feet. We come across this area here until I finally seen something I recognized. And so then when I lined up to turn in, it light rain and everything, and as we lined up to northwest to land, I said, okay, God, now drop below the clouds. I said, I can see the runway. I got it. I can handle it by myself now. I don't need your help. Cheryl was sitting right beside me. I hit that airplane 80 miles an hour. It hits the ground at 80 miles an hour. And with that rain and that slick runway, the airplane says, like this. And Cheryl screamed. And I said, Lord, I repent. I don't have it. I need some help. Well, let me tell you, that's the last time I ever told him, I don't need any help no more. I never, ever, ever again did I ever tell him that. Never. Because it only took one little instant. And do you know that'll just make everything in your body tighten up? You know, if you're going 80 miles an hour in an airplane and you hit the ground in the rain and all of a sudden it turns sideways on that slick runway, let me tell you, it'll make every organ in your body. But I say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent, I don't have it, I sure do need your help. And so, in fact, even when we got stopped and taxied around, I never even told him that I didn't need him, even once I put in the hangar. He knows how to get your attention. But what does he want us to do? He wants us to depend on him for everything. Everything. Is that right? And if we'll love Him and serve Him, He'll forgive us every time. All we got to do is come to Him and say, Lord, I messed up here. I ask You to forgive me. He always forgives us. That's the beautiful part about God. He never says no when we come and ask forgiveness. And then when we say, now, Lord, I've messed this up. I've asked for Your forgiveness. I know You've forgiven me. Now I ask You to heal or restore my body. And He does. And you come to church next Sunday a different woman, feeling so much better, huh? Isn't that wonderful? Is God wonderful? Yes. The weak say we are strong. So praise God. Well, Father, I praise You and thank You for this beautiful day. I thank You, Lord, for as people do go home, Lord, we're going to quit right at 4 o'clock exactly almost here so we can be on time. But Lord, I know people need to get out before dark. And so I ask You, everyone that goes home from here, I ask You to watch over them, guide them, protect them, keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.